16, please.
1016, direct the Bureau of Human Resources to lead the City Employer of Choice Initiative to attract, develop, and retain a diverse, culturally competent, fully engaged workforce that provides excellent public services.
And 1017, please.
Adopt the strategic plan to implement the 2012 Model Employer Resolution.
Okay. Anna Canwit and other panelists are here to present this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Anna Canwit, Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. We have two resolutions before you today. The first is the Employer of Choice resolution, which would direct the Bureau of Human Resources to lead the Employer of Choice initiative to attract, develop, and retain a diverse, culturally competent, fully engaged workforce that provides excellent public services. As a companion to this resolution, also presenting to you the resolution to adopt the strategic plan for furthering the city's goal to become a model employer of persons with disabilities. I do have three people who are also going to be testifying in support of that resolution, along with a video testimony, which if I don't have the technology expertise to do that, Gail Baird will help me out. So anyway, thank you. So moving first to the Employer of Choice, we began this work back in August of 2014. Fred Miller talked to me and said, you know, the city is a pretty great place to work, and that's often not recognized. And we could even make it better. So out of that, the Employer of Choice concept was born. The initial work was done by senior managers within my bureau, input from city council offices, from bureau directors, and from various employees, including staff that are part of a business hour group that OMF hosts. We also did a lot of research, and we test drove some of the concepts through engagement surveys with Bureau of Human Resources staff. And from that, we learned that some of the things that employees would like to see in order to have a truly engaged workforce, autonomy, being able to problem solve, understand how their work fits in with the enterprise, that's the city, to be safe, to have bold ideas that are not shut down, and work where there's a commitment to diversity, and last but certainly not least, is to be able to have fun. Work is an enjoyable thing to do. So why would we create an identity of the city as an employer of choice? One is to market the city to new generations of employees in an increasingly competitive labor market. Two, current employees should be recognized for and understand the value of their work. Three, the city's commitment to be a value-based employer will increase employee engagement. And the research is clear that if you have an engaged workforce, employees are more likely to stay. They have higher job satisfaction and provide better public and customer service. So what is an employer of choice? Gail Baird, who is the city's training and workforce development manager, is going to discuss that. But I just wanted to point out this is really part of a culture shift for us in the city. And to be successful, it needs to be intentional, rewarded, and embraced by all city leaders. To do this work, we created the Champion Circle, which is a cross-bureau team of very engaged folks who are willing to lead this effort for the city. They're committed to enhancing the city's identity, our brand as an employer of choice, and will serve as a clearinghouse for great ideas. Gail will cover those. They're attached to the resolution. So we really can work across silos and learn from each other. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Gail.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. I'm Gail Baird, Training and Workforce Development Manager for the city. And thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on this initiative, which we think is really critical for the city and its workforce moving forward. Employer of choice, that term means different things to different people. Our model, the city's model, presents the underlying components of employer choice with the understanding that each of us experiences it differently. And as Anna mentioned, the literature over many years shows that the best employers, so most admired, most profitable in the public sector, considered most effective, or best run, are deliberately focused on what they offer to their workforce and to recognize employees as their most valuable resource is what employer choice is intended to do. So as an employer, the city offers job seekers the base operating on the basis of fundamental values of public service, public trust, equitable outcomes, diversity and inclusion, and ethical conduct. People who are attracted to those values are the ones that we want to hire, and we want to keep them. So in our model that you have as attachment A, or exhibit A, we have identified 5 broad themes. Under each of these are the descriptors of job satisfaction, engagement, and along with some programmatic areas. And so before I go on to each of those themes, just to mention that the term employer of choice doesn't mean that a particular employer is attractive or desirable for every single job seeker. Some people are not motivated necessarily by employment in the public sector. They're seeking other things. The people that we want are those who want to make a difference and who want to be part of making a difference at the City of Portland. So each of these shows of the themes, we have strategic creativity, effective leadership, employee development and learning, a supportive and inclusive work environment, and total rewards. So obviously the 5 things describe different parts of the work experience at the city. And within that, we show that the city is a values-based employer. So values are why I came, and the work experience is why I stay. Those are the engagement factors that we want to support. Part of the work that we have done over the past couple of years on this involved taking an inventory, if you will, and seeking out, investigating what the city and within city bureaus, what we're already doing. Because we have found that many times a bureau, as part of its own internal employee programs, will develop initiatives, onboarding programs, training, all different kinds of things that they do in recognition of employees. And part of our goal with Employer of Choice is to share those across the city as to the extent possible so that we are creating a more enriched culture citywide. Questions?
Just one more thing I'll add. Thank you, Gail. So part of this is, you know, why we're doing this is the city, you know, we want to fit our programs, initiatives around employees into our identity as an employer of choice, which is a value-based employer. One of the, not exactly an ask, but a forecast in the resolution is we know we want baseline data because we do want to provide metrics to you as we move forward with this resolution and our various ideas, and I mean our by citywide ideas on how to enhance the workforce. And would like to do a survey, employee engagement survey across the city. Bureaus have done this for their individual bureaus. We've not undertaken it across the city. We don't have a specific ask today because that's not clear really what that cost would be. We anticipate working with someone like Portland State University. Could be something around $15,000, but that is not before you today. But the reason it's mentioned in the fiscal impact statement is that's one of the things we'll be coming back with at some point. Thank you. So any questions?
Questions for either of these two leaders in this work?
Yeah, I have a question. And I appreciate the discussions you've had with staff about doing this as a goal and adopting a strategic plan and the relationship of that in the budget. Because it will take additional resources to actually do it, in addition to the 15,000. So I'm asking my colleagues as much as you, is by accepting this, adopting this plan, are we affirming that we do want to consider this as a high priority in the budget?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I certainly would like that to be considered, but I do understand. I mean, in terms of when I addressed the model employer, the request there will be, it'll be part of my budget coming in for the beginning of fiscal year 17, 18. Is that the fiscal year we'll be in? Yeah. So there isn't anything today that actually commits a budget adoption, but simply asking for support.
This is an opportunity for you to make your pitch for that.
Okay, thank you.
Because you have asked for this before, and if you could just talk a little bit about the consequences of not adding staff to do that, and what would the staff that you will be requesting be doing?
Sure, I'd love to do that. If you wouldn't mind, Commissioner, if I could do that, move over to the model employer and go through that, and I can address it there. But I think that will provide a little more continuity. And I do have, as I mentioned, one video testimony, and three other people are here in support of the model employer resolution. So I'll go ahead and start that. Great. Yeah, if you just hang out in case I need you. That'd be great. So the second part of the presentation today does concern the city's 2002 resolution for the city to become a model employer of persons with disabilities. And as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, I have this budget year will be my third year coming to council to request funding for positions to carry that resolution out to the extent it was originally intended by council, by the Portland Commission on Disabilities, by the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and by the Bureau of Human Resources, and I think everyone who supported the original resolution. Part of the issue is that resolution was adopted, and then we were in some pretty decent budget cuts, and two of the staff from my bureau that would have been able to assist in the resolution were cut from the budget. That's not to say that nothing has happened. Actually, quite a few things have happened since the resolution was passed. I want to note that besides the Bureau of Human Resources and the Office of Equity and Human Rights, individual bureaus are taking on programs and actions to improve employment and the environment for individuals who have a disability, notably Bureau of Environmental Services and Parks. But I have to say, I was not originally aware of those programs. So it gets back to what we're talking about in terms of employer of choice. Bureaus are doing a lot of great things, but we don't have good mechanisms to talk to each other about what's going on. In addition to what individual bureaus are doing, in the Bureau of Human Resources, we expanded our focused outreach from 0.75 to one position to increase outreach to communities individuals who identify as having a disability. We have been hosting a job fair with Insight, focused on attracting individuals who identify as having a disability to employment with the city. I believe it's our third job fair is October 12th, and we have participation from pretty much every bureau in the city in that job fair as well. The city also participates and attends Night for Networking, which is an OHSU, basically networking event trying to tie people with disabilities with employers and employers talking to each other. I have attended for several years. That event is on October 26th. In fact, Ian Jaquist is here from OHSU today, who is one of the main creators of that event. This BHR also did a survey in 2014 obtain data around how the city, our employees, view disabilities and what the environment is like. And it's not particularly positive, that survey. That said, last year, I was able to encumber approximately $50,000 from my budget in order to hire a consultant to create a strategic plan to carry this resolution further than we have done so far. It is attached to the resolution. It is titled actually a white paper and strategic plan, because at 53 pages, I think it's a little long to simply be a strategic plan. We entered into a contract with Michael Sporluk, who is at once a member of the PCOG, the Portland Commission on Disability, does a lot of international work with the UN and Mercy Corps on this type of work. Unfortunately, he will not be here today. He was traveling in several countries in Africa as well as the Middle East and injured himself. So I have remarks that I am going to read that Michael would have provided. What Michael Sporluk did is he met with a variety of focus groups and stakeholders, council offices, bureau directors, various employees, to create, he did his own survey data and then created the plan that is before you as Exhibit A. The plan was also provided, both in draft form, but the final form to PCOD and also to, again, this business hour group of employees across the city for review. Page 25 of the plan is sort of the detailed recommendations that we, Michael has, that we wholeheartedly support. Significantly, there will be a budget ask for 1.5 positions. In my bureau, one position would be a centralized ADA accommodation position. This is immensely important. If you look at the word clouds at the back of the plan, one word cloud shows really what the environment is like. Fear, retaliation, et cetera, that many people feel that inhibits them from coming forward to request accommodations and for us to truly create a welcoming environment. BHR now has a centralized position for family medical leave and other medical leave requests. It has been very, very successful, and primarily for two reasons. One is it creates a safe environment for employees to come forward with their requests for leave, and it also ensures consistency across the city. This accommodations position would be similar. It would work with the Bureau identified employees who work on Title I, but also would, again, provide a safe environment for employees to come forward with their request for accommodations and ensure that we create those accommodations. The second part, which is very important, is a recommended shift for the city from moving from a medical approach to accommodations to, I guess, a more humanistic approach, for lack of a better word. And what that basically means is the way we approach most accommodations today is we will ask the employee for information from a treatment provider that justifies that accommodation. Now, that's not in every case, but that is primarily the model we follow. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's no longer recommended under the Americans with Disabilities Act or by the federal government. And again, it creates barriers that don't need to be there. For example, if we have an employee with low vision who simply needs an attachment, a program on their computer, there really is no reason for us to ask them to provide information from a treatment provider that they need that accommodation. We can do it. Or the sit-to-stand desk, which actually we provide pretty much across the board now. You don't really need a treatment provider to tell you that an employee, because of a condition, really does need the ability to stand up at work rather than sit all day. So that's, of course, in terms of the budgetary piece, I think those things are very important. There are also a number of programs that are in here. One, the Project Search that is being spearheaded by Commissioner Fish's office, along with a job carving program OHSU has piloted that the Parks Bureau is looking at doing, where we create both of these, where we create meaningful work for people with developmental disabilities, with the goal of that work becoming actual full-time regular employment with the city at some point. So there are a number of things in here that I think are really important, and what I'd like to do is next read from Michael Sporluk's testimony and then have the other folks here come up to talk to you and then can take questions at the end.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm being my New York quick part right now to try to save time. So again, for Michael Sporluk, and he's incredibly disappointed he cannot be here today. But
by the way, I think we are too, because if he was here, I would probably, with all my colleagues, compliment him on the way he went about doing this report, the meetings he held with us, the follow-up work, and a really superb document. And I compliment you for hiring him, because I think he really got at the core of some very important issues.
Great, thank you. I appreciate
it. Just one second. We have an accommodation. Apparently, the captions are not working.
Oh.
Let's get that working.
So could we just pause while we...
Yeah, absolutely.
They usually go about an hour and a half, so I'm not sure what happened. It might be a technical problem.
So is someone checking upstairs? Hang on.
They're good. They're good.
All right. We're back in operation here. So.
All right. Great. Thank you. Just one comment on Michael Sporluk. One of the recommendations that came out of the review of the plan was that we should look at actually using his expertise in our design for the Portland building. So to be sure that is actually, we're creating a welcoming environment as well. So I'm talking to Fred Miller about including that. I think it's a really excellent suggestion. So, all right, so this is from Michael Sporluk now. He had 11 observations from his consultancy with the City of Portland. Persons with disabilities want to and can be productive employees for the City of Portland. Some, but not all, persons with disabilities have support needs or reasonable accommodations to enable them to carry out their essential job functions. Employees are reluctant to make requests for reasonable accommodation because of the stigma of revealing their status as a person with a disability and their belief the request will be denied. While there are often costs associated with reasonable accommodations, those tend to be relatively minor and are less than the cost of failing to provide the accommodation. Non-disabled persons tend to think of reasonable accommodation as special or extra, and therefore something that is optional. This attitude is damaging. The truth is, whether disabled or not, no one views their own needs as special. The clear intent of the Americans with Disabilities Act is to make the provision of reasonable accommodation routine. The only valid reason for a reasonable accommodation to be denied is if it causes an undue burden. However, with the city of our size and the size of our budget, that the chance that an accommodation request would create an undue financial burden is probably fairly close to zero. And I agree with all these remarks as well. A new approach to the provision for reasonable accommodation is needed. There are many good reasons to provide the accommodations: cost-effective, supports our independence, economic and social. It lowers the cost to society, i.e. reliance on welfare programs. No large city in the United States is doing this well. If this plan is approved, it will place the city of Portland at the forefront of supporting equity in the public safety for persons with disability nationally, if not globally. The city of Seattle has an excellent, smaller, and targeted program to support people who identify as having a disability. I hope it is studied in more detail and emulated by the city of Portland. I'm also encouraged by a new OHSU program to support the employment of persons with developmental disabilities. Conversations about this strategic plan have been had with representatives from the Department of Labor, Office of Disability Employment Policy, and they have expressed their support for this plan and an interest in today's outcomes. The International Labor Organization, a body of the United Nations based in Geneva, has also expressed interest in and support for this initiative. While their main focus has been on creating a global business and disability network to promote employment in the private sector, they recognize the need for the public sector to take leadership in this as well. The city has made a commitment to be an employer of choice and has stated that it values diversity and recognizes that everyone can contribute to make the city a better place for all. This plan is premised on and builds from that commitment. The BHR strategic plan offers a fix to improve who is given reasonable accommodation and how it is given. This, combined with a focus on outreach and recruitment, will help the city to attract qualified individuals with disabilities. There is, as noted, I already noted, the modest cost associated with the plan, which is the budgetary request for 1.5 full-time equivalent positions. Second, given the success of the Seattle program, the commencement of the OHSU program, and Commissioner Fish's expression of interest in a program to bring on board individuals with developmental disabilities, the council may want to consider how to design and institutionalize a pilot program specifically focused on employment opportunities for persons with developmental disabilities. Third, Bureau of Human Resources is the overall lead for the strategic plan, and I'm confident in the commitment of BHR to do this work. That said, BHR will need other bureaus to step up as well. OHR has a dual mandate on race and disability and is the parent bureau for PCOD. Office of Neighborhood and Involvement has a disability outreach mandate and is developing a disability leadership program. Parks has expressed an interest in a supported employment program for persons with developmental disabilities, and the police bureau's work with community of persons who use mental health services is ongoing. These bureaus will all need to make disability inclusion a priority within their work plans. Thank you. So that was Michael Sporlik's testimony, and then I'm going to go ahead and have the people who are here come up and testify. So Dana Coffey.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Dana Coffey. I am a commissioner with the Portland Commission on Disability. My son has a disability. He's 23, and he is smart, perceptive, funny, kind, and educated. But of course, even so, I worry about his prospects to be hired and to support himself. So I'm excited about this opportunity to talk with you today about the two resolutions before you. The U.S. Census says that more than 18% of our civilian, non-institutionalized population has a disability. Ill-conceived attitudes and policies about disability needn't and shouldn't prevent someone with a disability from contributing to the workforce and earning a living. In 2012, our city council adopted the model employer resolution to promote a welcoming and inclusive environment for persons with disabilities that was wise, humane, and just. Unfortunately, the budget wasn't available until now for the city to hire the modest number of staff, only 1.5 full-time employees, to ensure that the resolution took effect. As of this year, only 1.2% of city employees self-identified as having a disability. That the percentage of such employees may actually be higher because people fear to reveal that they have disabilities is also addressed in the plan. No wonder about their reluctance. The survey cites legitimate reasons for that fear and widespread misconceptions and myths that people with disabilities can't do the work. They can't do the work that they're hired to do, require expensive accommodations, do not have the qualifications, and will not work as hard. It's a grave and continuing injustice to dismiss 18% of our population in this way. The problem isn't disability. The problem is accessibility. As a commission, we are encouraged by many aspects of this plan, and we urge you to both support and fund it. We also have some concerns and suggestions to make this plan even better. So while we ask for your support of this plan, we also ask that you continue to have human resources and the new staff work in partnership with us to make sure the voice and needs of people with disabilities continue to be part of the process. There is pride in being an Oregonian and a Portlander. So often we have led the nation in important legislation protecting our environment and our people, recycling, public beaches, transportation. Here is another opportunity for us to lead the way. One poignant statement from the survey in the plan was, "I've never met anyone blind. I've never met someone with a significant speech impediment or someone who is completely deaf working for the city of Portland." Too often when we have conversations about equity, we do not include people with disabilities. And yet people with disabilities represent all of us, over 18% of us, in fact. And yet the disabilities community is historically underrepresented and discriminated against in the workforce, more so than any other group in our communities. Let's begin to change that today by adopting the model employer resolution and the strategic plan that will help ensure it is effective. In my time on the commission, I have been privileged to work with some of the most able and courageous people I know. I would like to introduce you to one now, my fellow commissioner, Angel Chesimet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Dana. So Angel's testimony is video, so we'll go ahead and make that work. I'm going to just let you do
it. Carla will assist.
Yes. Oh, Carla, great. While that's getting set up, I do want to point out one of the groups I missed when I was talking about the work we had done so far was the Employment Subcommittee of the Portland Commission on Disabilities. Travis Wall was a member of that subcommittee. He is going to testify today as well, but that group really worked. We spent a lot of time together creating the survey and doing a lot of the work that we've done so far.
Hello. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak with you guys. Sorry I couldn't make it in person today. My name is Angel Chesimet, and I am a commissioner with PCOD. I'm really excited about this opportunity that we have with the model employer and the strategic plan that we're going to discuss today. I feel like this is an opportunity that we have to start in the city of Portland and hopefully to flow out to other businesses locally and maybe even nationally on leading the way in the disability movement. We are one of the minority groups that any of us in this room today can become disabled. Any of us. Think about it. All the minority groups, you can't all of a sudden become black or brown. You can't all of a sudden become gay. But you can. Any one of us can all of a sudden become disabled at any moment in your daily life. Now, that's pretty surprising to think about. especially when you compare that to the low percentages of people with disabilities in our workforce. We have a right. It is our human right to be able to earn a living just like anyone else in this room. But we, time and time again, don't get the opportunity to, because we are judged on not things that people know, because people don't understand and usually are not open to understanding what it's like to live with a disability. They're judging because they're judging on what they think they know about a person with a disability. When in reality, a person with a disability is actually a person who would be a very hard and loyal worker and would be very responsible. We have a lot of qualified individuals in the disability community that don't even give an opportunity because of the ignorance that people have around disability. We are usually not a part of the conversation when it comes to equality for race and sexual identity and the LGBTQ topics. Disability is very, very, very rarely even remembered in the list of minority groups and marginalized populations. I'm encouraging us today to open up and let disability be a part of our conversation at the table. I am totally blind. I use my guide dog, Hennessy, to get around. I actually have a master's degree in clinical rehabilitation counseling from Portland State University. Even with a master's degree, struggle and have struggled to be seen as equal in the workforce. I'm hoping that the city council would strongly and seriously consider implementing the strategic plan by first allowing the city to have the staff to start the whole process and start the ball rolling. I, along with my other commissioners of PCOD, would hope that we would be a part of the conversation to continue shaping and forming the strategic plan to ensure everyone gets an opportunity to be considered in any type of employment that comes up in the city, and hopefully eventually, as the attitudinal barriers are slowly chipped away, that we would be more equal, that we would be more considered throughout our city, and maybe even eventually, hopefully one day, throughout our nation. So I encourage the city council, please, to consider the strategic plan and starting the ball rolling with the new staff member and the halftime staff member, and to consider continue to allow PCOD to be a part of the table as we move forward with this whole process. I thank you for the opportunity, and I hope that I will meet some of you guys in the near future.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So Travis Wall is also going to come up and say a few remarks, and then Philip Wolf.
Okay, great. Come on up, please. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for accommodating me and allowing me to come and appear before you today. I'm going to ask you to bear with me a little bit. I'm unfortunately left one of the accommodations that I need to function, which is a pair of glasses in my car this morning, so I don't have the benefit of that. I also thought while we were talking about accommodations, I might just point out that there's an accommodation that's present in this room that many of us so-called able-bodied people often rely on, but isn't necessary for everyone with a disability, particularly those who are blind. So all of you are the benefit of a lighting system that without you, you would have a hard time reading the documents that are in front of you. It's something that we all take for granted as able-bodied people, but in fact it's an accommodation that's made for us to facilitate things in the course of our business. So some have already shared some of what I'm going to state, but I think it's important that we restate it for the record, and so I ask you to bear with me a little bit. The recommendations before you today are a real necessity to continue to address what has been a longstanding inequity, both in this country and state, but also, yes, this city. People with disabilities have long experienced some of the highest rates of unemployment and unemployment of any group in this country. Here in Portland, 15 to 20% of our community are people with disabilities. And yet, only about 2% of our city's workforce, in fact, are persons that identify as being someone with a disability. The unfortunate deleterious effects of unemployment and underemployment affect people with disabilities in all sorts of profound and often lifelong and devastating ways, including through poverty and homelessness, as well as through racism. It's worth noting that that a disproportionate number of people with disabilities are also people of color and other disadvantaged people. In response to these facts and these conditions and the moral, legal, and business case increasing the employment of people with disabilities, the Portland Commission on Disabilities brought to you a resolution in 2011 to make the city a model employer with disabilities. We were very gratified that day, and we remain very thankful today that that resolution was adopted by you and that it's been lent the support that you have given it. But in order to continue to move forward, we must do a number of other things. We're very thankful for the leadership that Anna has provided through the HR Bureau on this issue and through her efforts, the efforts of the HR staff, as well as the Commission on Disabilities and others. We have made some progress over the past several years, and certainly we've begun to put together the vital elements to the strategic plan that you see before you today. But the recommendations that have been presented are really necessary to take the next steps. This remains an incomplete work, one that that must be given far more attention if it's to succeed. We would say let's make the economic recovery that many Americans are experiencing today a reality for people with disabilities. No longer should their dreams be denied and their dreams deferred. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I think we had some others that were going to speak, other PCOD members. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on this. I support everything in front of you today.
Put your name in the record, though, please.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm new to this. My name is Ian Jaquis. I work at Oregon Health and Science University. I think I've worked with everybody on the council at one time or another, and excited to have this opportunity to speak on this topic today. I've worked closely with Anna and Nicole at various times on various events, and I know the passion that they bring to the table, and I'm excited to hear some of the stories that is already happening in the city. And I think with the adoption of these proposals in front of you, it will further that, it will energize that, and I'm excited about the potential for the messaging that the city can send in making it, which is what I've always tried to do, make it cool to be a person with a disability. And I think that the city, like no one else, can promote that. And I think that will help overcome the stigma, overcome the challenges that people with disabilities face. Michael's presentation, his strategic plan is exciting. For a person who's almost a lifelong person with a disability, this is an opportunity I never imagined. And I think that with your endorsement, with your support, with your messaging of that, it will go a long way to raise the 1.5% people here who in the city who have self-disclosed that will raise that level, and I'm sure the percentage is already much higher than that, but we want to empower them to feel comfortable about that. The messaging about accommodations is important, and all that sort of all that's been mentioned is important, but I think ultimately with the support of the city, that sends the message that it's okay for people with disabilities to apply, to be hired, to thrive. And I fully endorse and I fully support that. That said, thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, do you have some other invited speakers?
One more. Philip Wolf will be coming up, and he's actually going to type in the computer. Can you bring up Word? I'm assuming you can do that. Or Kyle.
Make it work this way, you bet. Great.
All right, so as Nicole said, Nicole Sharon said, we had interpreters but didn't show up, so I'm going to read what Philip writes for his testimony.
That will work. Thank you.
Hello. Okay, this is awkward. Hi, commissioners. My name is Philip Wolf. I am a commissioner with PCOD. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to type my message with you all today. I need a few more minutes than normal because my mind races faster than I type, so bear with me. Oh boy, okay, here I go. When I was 20 years old, I applied for my first job with The Gap at Beverly Hills, California. I got hired. Other employees got hired at the same time when I got hired. 4 months later, this employee got promoted and I stayed in the same position for more than a year. I realized discrimination is in play, so I filed a lawsuit and settled out of court. Here in Portland, for 6 years now, I have personally witnessed a serious disparity in hiring people with disabilities with the city. I have applied three different city positions and got turned down. The most recent was for a position with disability program specialist. It was a blow to my stomach that am continued to be subjected as one of the statistics, people with disabilities that are viewed as a burden, evidently, all the bureaus and city people are not trained in providing accommodations. With people and their disabilities. They often assume that we must educate them and accommodate them, which isn't the case. And today, to see this council scrambling for interpreters for us today is quite distasteful. I, as a PCOD commissioner, fully support the strategic plan with an understanding that the HR shall hire staff to work with and follow through . I believe I could have expressed better through ASL, but this shall do for now. Thank you for your time. It is always good to see you again. And by the way, allow me to remind you, we live in a system of oppression, and here in Portland, I believe can be a model to break the system of oppression. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, excuse me, my apologies for not getting the interpreter.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad we worked out a semi-solution today. So thank you very much, Anna, for your help with that.
Yes, thank you. So just in closing, I just want to say I have been very honored to work on this and with the various members of the Portland Commission on Disabilities and others. It's really been a pleasure.
Both questions for Anna or Gail.
So do we have a lot of people signed up? One more. Why don't we hear that person?
So and then I apologize. I didn't realize I had someone else signed up.
If you could come back, because I do.
I let's take anyone else that wants to speak, and then we'll.
Kathy Coleman.
Good morning.
Good morning. As you just heard, my name is Kathy Coleman, and I'm also a PCOD commissioner. I'm here today to ask the City Council to approve the budget for the 1.5 staff positions to carry out the Model Employer Strategic Plan. As the director of a nonprofit, I'm more than highly aware of the importance of having enough staff and resources to carry out needed programs for our community. Without adequate staffing, funding, a budget, we won't be able to achieve the goals of the Model Employer Plan. It's been 26 years since the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and we still don't have equity. It's almost too high for me. We still don't have equity in employment for people with disabilities. Whether we are just entering the workforce or have a master's degree or a PhD, we're still underrepresented. In Oregon, only 35.3% of people with a disability of all education levels are employed, compared to 75.7% of people without a disability of all education levels. And this is a huge gap that needs to be closed. The city needs to embrace disability culture and our intersectionality as disabled people of color, queer, women, indigenous, refugee, and immigrant, etc., as people with disabilities were in all parts of our community. The city will benefit from the skills, education, knowledge, and lived experience that people with disabilities bring to the city bureaus as employers, as employees, or employers. It could be either. It's a new century, and we should be well past the narrow thinking that places disability solely as a medical issue. With an emphasis on disability culture and identity, city employers can increase their awareness about disability and erase the biases that keep people with disabilities from being employed. PCOD can assist in strengthening the plan through specifying details regarding goals and objectives, important areas of data collection and analysis, and identifying important benchmarks as the number of employees with disabilities increases. This is the beginning of a really important journey. I know started in 2012. And I hope to see an increase of my people employed in entry, mid-level, and high-level positions in the city of Portland due to the success of the Model Employer Program. And I'm hoping you'll all support that program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Good morning.
Morning. Honorable Mayor, members, Richard Robinson. I'm visiting from Los Angeles, the City Council Chamber, and it's County Board of Supervisors Chamber. Sir, because of our Constitution, democracy, and freedom, based upon the British bicameral parliamentary system, we're the best. The bureaucracy, which to some seems unwieldy, to me is a blessing of God. In directing your Bureau of Human Resources, consider the human aspect of life in the United States of America today. Most of humankind's problems are caused by human beings. All we need to do is exert the effort and our problems are solved. The glass is half full. The veneer of civilization is skin deep. There's a tendency to think all too often that we don't have the ability to solve these problems. But here in Portland, Portland is a point of light. I'm 75 years of age. I've traveled worldwide. I'm a student of child psychology. Brock's my cousin. My stepmother's Joan Oakley, the Prudential Base Group. We built about 10 rescue missions nationwide. So, as you consider one of the most important, this sea change of direction in not just Portland, but nationwide, because of our, I got here when Bud Clark and Lee Brown were changing things, and I cannot express, it's ineffable. The inevitable effect that you will have, sir, because of your position, Portland's position, not just here, but worldwide. Seriously, as Hillary is sworn in January, and the world proven leadership is brought back, to the process. I'm a Christian. I'm a cockeyed optimist. I'm peculiar. But I see you and this legislation as seminal. Thank you.